This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CMB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Welcome to the Threaded Exchange. It's Siyabonga Beile, live from the best podcast station in South Africa. This is Cliff Central. I'm here today with Amanda Black. But let's open up the show with a nice song. I dedicate this to you. I feel like each time I hear someone with a beautiful voice, I always think of you.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Let's hear the song.
Let's hear it. This is Sober by Mahalia.
I'm just sorry that there ain't no time left.
This is CliffCentral.com.
That was Sober by Mahalia. You were asking me, is that Mahalia from South Africa?
Yeah, well, I mean, you said Mahalia, so yeah. The first Mahalia that came to my mind was the one from here.
Mahalia is amazing.
No, that was a beautiful song.
Let me have manners. Amanda Black, Siswam.
Salubuli sanam.
Unjani.
Pilajani.
Tbilil.
Hello.
Like, is that how you, like, come on.
I don't know. Hello, everybody. My name is Amanda Black, and I just want to say hello to everybody. What day is it today?
Guys, I have a huge crush on Amanda Black, so she's not making this very easy. I'm going to try not to look at her while I do this interview.
Should have came here wearing a thing over my head, Moss.
Yeah, go. Fucking scarf. Who's eating a scarf? But I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like this has been so long overdue, and I think the first time I met you was at Summers 2016.
Yes.
Oh, no. It was before then.
It was the Safters,
I remember, Safters. And you were singing. Yes. And I'd seen you for the first time live. I'd heard about you before.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, everyone has heard of Amanda Black. So I've heard about you before, and I've heard your voice, and I've heard your songs, but I remember during rehearsals when you were singing, and I was like, you know, like, you sounded so good. And I think
I've
been a fan ever since. Like, diehard fan, even, I would say. I'm a diehard, obsessive fan, even, I would say.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
And, like, I'm one of those people. I'm never too cool to say I'm someone's fan. Like, I'm not. Yeah. I'm never too cool. If I'm a fan, I'm a fan. And I think I'm such a big fan. But
thank
you. Know what I'm a fan of, actually, is that, you know, I've worked with a bunch of people in the industry. And what I like about you is you're so grounded. And so you have this, like, silent confidence. Like, when you walk into a room, you not say, hey, look at me, I'm Amanda, I'm here. But we take notice. We feel the energy from within you. And you've always been someone I admired and wanted to work with and stuff like that. And I think when I had the opportunity to bring you to my show, I was like, okay, this is the start of us collaborating. Mm-hmm. And you're also someone who's very opinionated about stuff. You know, you're not the kind of person to sit in silence. I follow you on Twitter and I see how lit you are. So I was like, it would actually be quite interesting to invite you to my show and not talk about the obvious things that people would expect us to talk about. Mm-hmm. So people would expect us to talk about music and what are you working on? And like, that's boring, you know.
We've been doing it.
Yeah. So right now, 2018, it's almost June on Thursday. Who is Amanda Black right now?
Amanda Black is growing.
Yeah.
I'm counting what it's gonna be my second year in the industry.
Second.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Well, obviously since the release of Amazul.
Yeah.
So I'm counting down the days and the months, and I'm like, yo, and I have to obviously. I'm looking back. I'm like. Yeah. Who was I when I came in, and what has changed, and what has influenced me, and what have I learned? So I'm in that process, man. In that process. It's a realization of self, because when I did come in the industry, obviously I thought I knew who I was, and I still know who I was, like the core of who I am and where I come from. But I'm seeing a lot of little things that I have learned and I've picked up, and I'm like, obviously things about myself that I'm like, okay, oh.
Yeah.
And I'm growing.
Growing. Yeah. So you're working. How do you balance that? Like, I mean, we both have public careers And, you know, growth can be quite a tricky thing where, you know, you have so many people looking up to you and they see you as a certain person.
Yeah.
But as you grow, you evolve. Your image evolves, yes. Your thoughts evolve, yes. And also your opinions evolve.
Yes,
you
definitely.
Know, so how do you balance that? Because part of being a musician, you're performing quite a lot, you're doing gigs around the country, but you're also in a space where you're growing and having to hibernate yourself. So what is that like, having to grow while under being such a huge people public spotlight? See.
I'm not going to lie. I'm still pretty much struggling with the balancing.
Yeah.
I think for me, I will not lie and say, no, I got this. I'm learning, like I'm trying to, like social media, when people see me on the street, what I show people of my life.
Yeah.
Like those kind of things. But the one thing that I am is myself.
Yeah.
So at least that, I got that down and I'm like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But then now, how do I balance the... Obviously, myself is not the same self that's on stage.
Yeah.
You know, that's
kind of... like the brand self.
Yes, that's the brand self.
And the personal life self.
Yeah, so I try and I speak to people and, but Amanda, you cannot show... And I remember coming in, I'm like, I'm an open book, man. This is me.
Yeah.
But now I'm learning that I obviously cannot show everything about myself.
Yeah.
So, man, it's tricky.
It's damn tricky. Also, I think for me, the biggest part is that, like, Ndilit Kaba from Eastern Cape, number one. So, number two, when people are telling me personal life, be this, I'm like, I'm me. Like, don't tell me I need to split who I am.
Can't.
So, I remember going in through the industry for 5 years, just like, talking about everything about my life, from my depression, my parents' divorce. And then you start to realize that you as self, you have people around you as well, like family and friends. And sometimes you can also not be conscious that everything you say when you're being yourself can also affect them.
Oh, definitely.
And then also sometimes I feel like I was in denial that my life has changed, because you also you never see fame coming. It's never like today you're famous. It's you working consistently, doing your interviews, doing your shows, releasing the song.
Working on your craft.
Yeah, the song takes 6 months to blow up. So by the time everyone feels you've blown up, you mean like, but I've been at this for such a long time.
Yeah.
So now you don't realize that life has changed. So you're still doing things like you were Amanda Black 3 years ago. And then you realize, but it's not the same.
Like, it's not the same.
So do you think that's been tricky for you? Like your friends and family, where you've thought about, okay, actually... I am a public figure now, so I have to realize, okay, it also affects them much as it affects me, but also I need to look after my soul and me.
I have to keep reminding myself.
Yeah.
I have to keep remembering, because I'm still me.
Yeah.
A very big part of me is still very much me. So every now and then, I have to filter what I say.
Yeah.
You know, even like, I'll talk about social media because it is a funny and a very a big part of this fame of ours.
Isn't it weird? Don't you sometimes sit back and you're like, this platform is fucking weird.
Like
how people talk, what they say.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
And now for as a person, and when it comes to my family, I'm not like secretive about how I view my family views and how much I love my family. But then in that same breath, I still have to shield them.
Yeah.
So it's tricky because I'm like, I love my family. My mom, Teddy's story. Then I'm like, oh, come back. And it's a quasi because I can't show a lot of it. I need to shield them.
Yeah.
Because there are things that I can take. I can take people saying things about me. I can take people having negative views about me. I can take all of that.
Yeah.
But I have to try bana bona.
Yeah.
I'm
not gonna lie here. I never used to deal with that very well. Like people, even today, people say to me, "But wow, like you're being dragged on Twitter. Did you see?"
Oh wow.
It still affects me. I'm not gonna pretend like I don't feel anything. It still affects me because the thing for me that's tricky about social media is that in life, you number one, you're a human being.
Yeah.
And as a human being, you live your life with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So with you, your purpose is music, but that purpose doesn't exist without the actual person. And the person is consistently growing. So mistakes are happening. Fuck ups are happening.
Oh, yeah.
Miscommunications are happening. Like, because you're in a space where you're consistently having to figure your life out. And also, most people think success is a destination.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Amanda Black is a musician. There she's done. Where you're also still developing where Amanda Black as a musician is going.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain, you know, career decisions you have made where you've like, fuck, I shouldn't have actually done that.
Yeah.
But what's weird about social media is that you get judged for being human.
Well, yes.
You get dragged for being a human.
And it's funny, the same people that judge you, they have
So it's weird mistakes. Because you're like, but you're also human. You're also making mistakes. Yeah. How am I different? So social media, to some extent, it makes it feel like people own you. They want to own your opinions. They want to own your decisions in life. So it's like, oh, why would you do that, Amanda? Like, how dare you? And you're like, but this is my decision. So you're also then caught in the space between, you care about your community, of course, because mm-hmm. that's who consumes your music. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, actually, I don't give a fuck about your opinions, because at the end of the day, admire me for the music. Mm. Outside of that music, that's my life.
Yeah.
But then at a certain extent, it's like they feel like they have ownership in that.
Yeah. Imagine, it's a tricky thing, because I mean, like I said, I try to like get some knowledge from people that have been in the industry forever, or you know, that know, and only to find that them being in the industry for 20 years, they're still trying to figure it out. And now when I'm busy, I feel like often than not, I tell myself, and my mom keeps telling me, forgive yourself. You're not gonna be perfect. And you can't control other people's thoughts, other people's opinions of you. So it's a tricky thing to grab a hold of and be like, okay, this is how it is, and this is how I should act. It's impossible. It's impossible because you never know what you say, the effect. Because when uzayiteta in a way that you think, okay, no, this is the right way. Another person is going to take it totally different. Or your actions are totally going to be something.
Yeah.
Devious or something crazy for someone else.
Yeah.
And you can't control it. Yeah. That's the thing.
I also think another thing, like your insecurities can easily play out on social media. I discovered that like I've always wanted to be a people pleaser through social media. And I think that's why I cared so much about what people thought. Because I was like, I want to help young black, you know, business people. I want to do the best I can. Yeah. That's my purpose. That's my intention.
Yeah.
But then you start to learn that it's not as easy as that sounds. Like, business is fucking hard. So some things fail, some things don't fail. And then people are like, yeah, that thing that failed, you fucked up.
And then
you're like, but that was never the intention to get it fucked up. So I've come, the biggest advice I've gotten was actually from Somizi. And Somizi was like, dude, whether you do something good or whether it's bad, they'll always talk.
Yes.
And you have to understand that once you respond to one, you're going to respond to all of them. And that is a problem. And that is not going to put you in a healthy space.
Yeah.
The healthy space is engage on your purpose. The purpose is, so with you, your purpose is music. You know, that's where people should engage you on music. That's what you should answer to the music. That's what you give to the public. Anything else they talk about is none of their business.
But in conversation, about what? Stay out of it.
Yeah. So let me ask you, so 2 years in the industry, what's been your major high? Like, high as in, when was that moment where you're like, I'm pinching myself. Oh my God, this is happening. Like, damn, like, I've arrived. And what has been, I wouldn't say disappointment, but what's the one thing you looked at in the music business? You're like, this is actually a lie, hey? I didn't think this is how this thing goes. Actually, it's not the real thing.
It's not the thing.
It's not the thing that people think it's the thing.
The question you was layer. It's
I feel
deep.
Like you have a thesis.
No, I'm trying. And I suppose I need to make a show. If you're not, but okay, the high. Let's talk. Okay, wait. Let me talk about the low. For me, a lot of things, and it's something that I want to impart or teach my younger self and younger people that are looking at us.
And luckily, this is a platform to do that.
And be like, yo, and Funbang Amanda. Without obviously getting into a lot of detail, but it's not as easy as it looks.
Mm.
One, from the outside, I was like, yo, tutula, to a famous, to a rich, to a teeny. It's like any career choice. You get there and it's not what you expect. It, like you said, the success is not a destination. So when you look at it, you're like, oh, when I'm famous and successful, difficile. You never arrive.
Bitches have arrived.
You never arrive. That's why I'm saying to you that I'm growing.
Yeah.
Because I can never get to a point where it's like, I'm done.
God's work in progress.
Yeah. Like, I did it. I made it. Look, last year was a great year for me. I won awards and some things that I've dreamt about. Summers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, things happened. I was nominated BETs. I was like, you might need. I'm here.
There was a time I thought you had a tender for these award shows.
No, what are you saying?
I would be at a gig. Amanda's performing. Amanda's. I'm like, Jesus, girl. Like, relax. Cape Town. Amanda's. I'm like, what?
Everywhere.
There was a time where I was like, no, you've got. You and Shekinah. Literally, you're like you two.
It's not even like that.
If it's not you both at an event, it's either her or you.
It's timing.
Yeah.
And we obviously don't control it. All we did was do what we had to do. Perfect our craft. Well, it's not perfect, but we are working on it.
Yeah.
So what we did, we went into studio. Okay, the normal, you know, went into studio, created music, experienced things, created music. And that was our job.
Yeah.
And then the rest was up to fate and God. And then it just
blew up.
It just blew up.
Yeah.
And now, so what I'm saying is, hey, you never arrive. You have to keep on inventing yourself, reinventing yourself, and growing and allowing growth and allowing yourself to make mistakes. That's like the hardest thing for me because I'm an incredible perfectionist, and especially when it comes to my music. But I find it very hard to forgive myself, you know, but I'm learning to.
Yeah.
And that's something that I keep on saying to people that, you know, that come up to me, like, look, you need to be able, you need to learn to forgive yourself.
I think also, like, I also think I've been through the same thing. And I mean, these guys are part of my team, and it's been this period of forgiving ourselves, you know, where it's like, and the thing is, it's not just about the career, but it's also things in your personal life.
Yeah.
So there might have been certain, like, I know my parents divorced. I don't have a great relationship with my dad, but for a very long time, I carried my mom's burden on some, like, I need to do, like, I'm the father now. And then I had to put myself in a position, be like, I forgive myself. That wasn't my fault. That was not my marriage. I am the son. That's who I need to be.
Mm.
And also career wise, I mean, I dropped out of varsity because my parents couldn't afford it. And so half the business mistakes I've made, I mean, I've almost lost my business. I've lost money. And I used to be so angry and be like, fuck. Like,
what was I thinking?
Why did I not read that contract? Like, I should have known better. And I'm like, and then I'd sit in a position and be like, hey, kunga bina skol.
Yeah.
Like, if I finished varsity, maybe I would have known not to do that. And so I used to carry this anger. And so also at the same time, it put me in a position where now I needed other people to approve of what I did, because I feel like I have this shortfall of not being completely educated in fashion. And a lot of the people in fashion have gone to fancy fashion schools. They've been editors for 15 years. And you sit, and then you come into the space where now you're consistently looking for validation, and then these people are telling you, actually, you ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you now work from a place of revenge. So I feel like for the last 5 years, I was working from a place of anger, being like, I'm going to start the Summers. I'm going to do the SAFTAs. I'm going to be Forbes 10 under 30. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to go chill with Virgil in Paris to show you that I can do it. But that's not sustainable.
And did it make you happy?
Trust me, the craziest thing is, people look at like my life and think I've been the happiest ever. And even when I remember when I got Forbes, I was in the Summers changing room crying. And the show was finished. Everyone said a good, but I felt it didn't fill the void.
Mm.
It was the career highlights of mine have actually been my lows in my personal life, which I think is the craziest thing. And I can think you can relate as well, where you're going through so much pain at home or something is happening, but that's on stage,
things are happening.
You have to smile, entertain the people, dance there. Hey.
And that's why you need to focus on, before the brand, you as a human being, you need to focus on that.
Yeah.
You need to focus on that because you're getting winning things. And then at the end of the day, you're still like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And that's the worst.
Cool. So that was
the
low.
Yeah. And the high is every time I get on stage. The first time I got on stage and people were singing my song, I cried.
Oh, wow. Where was this?
When was it? Yeah, when I came home, I'm not good with the dates. But, okay, obviously, after AmaZulu blew up, I was, like, busy. But...
Can I ask you a crazy question?
Man.
And this is something I'd ask Beyonce. Like, are you conscious of how talented and how powerful your voice is? And before AmaZulu came out, so before then, you were not in the industry, whatever. Did you ever have doubt that it would blow up? Were you like, people might not even receive this? And for me, if you have that doubt, it's like so crazy because your voice is so amazing. So, like, walk me through that. Before AmaZulu comes out, what were the emotions? And when it did come out, how did those emotions change to give you more confidence? To be like, actually, my shit is good. Like, people are singing.
I didn't even want the song to be released the way it was. I was like, I need to re-record it. I'm not happy. I was like, no, I didn't sing it. You know, I had so many doubts. I was scared. And if I didn't have people around me, like the team that was like, no, this is fine. Or, you know, somebody was like, look, you're not going to change anything. I think I would have ruined the song. Because I was like, and the beauty of it is that it was raw. You know, it was my emotions. Everything was, and for me, I was like, no, I should have, I didn't sing. My voice was not great.
Yeah.
You know, and even way before, you know, I feel, I guarantee you Beyonce has insecurities as well.
Yeah.
Because we're human.
When you sing, I'm like, you are, it's too much. And then because your singing is not the kind of singing where it's background music. I don't know if you guys can agree, I mean, your producers here. It's the kind of singing where you're like, shit, like, I'm feeling some type of way. So like when I listen to your music, I'm always like, does this girl actually understand that God is singing through her? Do you actually understand? Like, you're profiting moments. Through music, literally.
There are moments. There are moments. And you know what? You'd say I'm lying. When you, like, you're saying, like, yo, you were touched and I was amazing. You'd find that sometimes I was like, yo, after the performance, I was like, I didn't do well.
Yeah.
It didn't do well. What happened to my voice? It gave up on me. I didn't give a performance.
Yeah.
Because we are so hard on ourselves, especially like a lot of artists are very, very like artists like me that like I'm very, very serious about my craft. So I'm like, oh no, it wasn't perfect. It needed to be perfect. But it doesn't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think that's the most interesting thing actually. And if you guys are listening, so I always like to do this when I interview.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like I'm a teacher in a class and you're like a guest lecture.
Okay.
So I wanna point out the lesson. So guys, first lesson is it's never gonna be perfect. So don't sit there with your brilliant ideas or your songs, whatever it is that you're creating as a young black kid, and think it needs to be perfect for it to be released. Start somewhere. Even if you can look, you're gonna look back at it in 5 years and be like, oh, that was actually shit. Rather start somewhere. And then believe. when you get better by actually doing.
Yes.
Do you think you've gotten better?
I've gotten incredibly better.
And you think if you hadn't started or released the song, you wouldn't
still be there.
You'd still be there.
I'd still be there.
Till this day.
Till this day, I'd still be doing the same thing, singing the same way, not learning how to take care of my voice, not learning how to sing in a higher, how to sing. Look, I've been through so many stages. If we have to talk about my voice, it has grown.
Yeah.
The past 2 years, I have been using it. I have been working more.
Yeah.
But if I had not, like 2 years ago, I'd still be there.
Yeah. So guys, there, start somewhere. Amanda had to start somewhere. She wasn't happy with the song. You must be thinking like, this bitch is crazy. But no, she wasn't happy. So the same emotions are there. Thirdly, practice to forgive yourself.
Yes.
Because forgiving yourself can hold you back. And I think with her journey, she's had to forgive herself for the mistakes. Like, you're not born with... Success is not a destination.
No.
So, and you're not born with a manual of how to carry certain things. And I believe that in life, I could tell you that I've done things this way. But at the end of the day, is that your journey is your journey.
Different.
You know, you could take what I've applied, and you might apply it, might not work. So sometimes I always feel like people's advice is great, but it's also like not 100% because you don't know the cards you've been dealt with versus the other person.
It's different people, different experiences.
Yeah, and God has a plan for each of us. So our plans are all different. So now I'm trying to take what's been working for my plan or my journey to put it in your journey.
Mm.
That never really works. So guys, learn to forgive yourself. I'm going to play a song to give Amanda some breathing space. please do WhatsApp us questions on 0797482090. Ask her anything. She's on air. She's unfiltered. She's chilling. I like to say she's not here as the musician. She's here as Amanda the person. Yeah. That's who I'm engaging with. And after this track, I want to talk to her about, you know, friendships, you know, like moving into the industry, what it's been like for her to now have famous people want to befriend her, or famous people want to work with her or be associated with her, but then you're like, oh, I don't want to be associated with this person. Like, there's been famous people who I'm like, oh, you're just a bit controversial. So I want to also ask her how she handles that, but most importantly, I want to talk about what has it been like for her experience being a black woman, and versus before she was in the music business and with the challenges she was dealing with then, and sort of what challenges is she dealing now in a male-dominated industry, and more so, like, what dreams does she have for young black girls of South Africa, and some of the things she feels like girls should know in terms of music and the industry, and, you know, yeah, how she's using her platform to empower people. The song I'm going to play, actually, Amanda...
Yeah,
like, there's always a story here. Like, I like my show.
I like stories.
It's a freestyle. produced by Dex and TP, right? And it's a new track. It's never been played before. I don't think I've heard it. I hear a lot of your music, but I want to play this on air. And guys, tell us what you think. I mean, I think Dex is like, I wouldn't say the next Timbaland, but he's like the next 40. And 40 works to Drake. And Dex is a bit different, and I like his music. I think he's the future. And he's long linking on WhatsApp, and not WhatsApp, Instagram and Twitter. Guys, English and Bulal. But yeah, this is Freestyle with Tippy and Dex. Yeah, we're still here with Amanda Black. Tweet us, Thread Exchange. Tweet her, Amanda Black SA.
I need to say what?
Hey, I say.
This is CliffCentral.com.
So this is my brother, Anganati Beile, and this is actually his debut single with Dex as well. Tell me what you guys think about it. Hit us up on WhatsApp as well as Twitter.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, that is Sweet Nasty. Young Shepherd Boy, Long Lincoln, Bongs. Like, what's his Bongs stage name? What is it? Shout, bro. Let me hear you.
BGB.
So it's BGB. And I, yeah, Bongs does music, but actually Bongs is like a serious engineer. Like serious engineer. And he's like moving to London and doing all these nice things. Black people are doing amazing things.
No, we need to.
I think that's why I love my life. I feel like each time I feel like I want to give up, or each time I'm like things suck, I'm always like, let me consume something created by a fellow black person. Yeah. So I'll listen to your music, I'll listen to his music, and I'm like, yes, like other black kids are fighting, I'm gonna fight.
Yeah.
So Amanda.
Hello.
Amanda.
Yeah.
How do you prefer me calling you? I don't know how to say it. Like sometimes when I see you, I want to be like, hello Amanda, like James Bond vibes, like hey.
Why?
Amanda. Hey Amanda. You know when you want to talk to your crush, you're like. Amanda. So sometimes I never know what to say. Like Amanda or Amanda.
Look, just be yourself. Like
or Amanda. Yeah, come on, Lawi.
The Amanda game.
It's closer something to Amanda.
It's weird because Lawi Twitter is close. Like when you're greeting, it's close.
Yeah.
Like, Molo Amanda.
Yeah.
But in English, it's like, hello. Amanda.
Amanda. Where does that come from? Amanda Black.
Okay. This question. I love this question. Kamalam, we ID in the mom, Amanda Benedicta Antoni.
Ooh.
Yes.
Amanda Benedicta Antoni. Damn. So walk me through those names. Like, what do these names mean?
Okay.
What was the intention behind them?
Yeah. Well, my mom, because I always ask her, she says, look, Amanda Lifigile Emondeni and Daktia Amanda.
Yeah.
But then when I grew up, I went and researched what my names mean. So my first name means, it's not Xhosa, guys. I really do still want a Xhosa name. I even told her yesterday. I was like, Mommy, I'm going to give myself a Xhosa name.
So guys, we need a Xhosa name for Amanda.
Yes,
she actually is Xhosa.
Yes.
So tweet us some names. The one I'm thinking in my mind is Nkululeko, but that's a lot.
That is a lot. That's...
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like your music frees people. That's my thinking. Wow. You're freeing people. Nonkululeko. You are kulula bando from their pains through your music. That is nice. That was a good one.
You took me there. Okay. Yeah. So my first name, Amanda, means worthy of love. It's Ooh. Latin. Yeah. It's from Latin.
Yeah.
Origin. It's English.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. It means worthy of love. And then Benedicta, it's derived from Benedict, Saint Benedict from the Bible or from Catholic. I'm Catholic, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it means blessed.
Oh, wow.
And then Fanny Amandiazge. Antoni, Suka Kude. It used to be spelled with an IE, and then it was spelled with an I, then it was spelled with a Y.
So now you took your first name, and where does the black come from? Why Amanda Black?
Yeah. So the black comes from. My understanding of who I am. So what happened was a few many years ago, I'm making myself sound old, but a few years ago,
she was 10 years old
around varsity. So I was not 10. But what happened was I grew up not loving myself. I grew up not loving being black. I grew up not loving, you know, I grew up very dark skin. I used to be darker than this. Yeah. So growing up was very like difficult for me understanding. Even just appreciating who I am, because I grew up being teased. I mean, everybody gets teased, you know. But society back then, it was all about beauty was described as
yellow
white
bone era.
Or yellow bone. That was it still is, but yeah, that was Drake. The time when
hey, Drake was more. John Drake made yellow bones trend everywhere,
dude. So growing up was very difficult for me understanding where I actually fit. No, understanding, I hated myself. When I looked in the mirror, I was so ugly. I would look in the mirror and I'd be like, you are andimbi. And that's what I was told at school.
Do you think to a certain degree you were depressed about it?
I definitely was, but I didn't understand. I didn't know I was depressed. But I know that there were days where, and I used to have yellow bone friends, and I felt inferior to them. I felt like the boys would like them and they wouldn't like me, you know, and it was just, I felt ugly, you know, and society was telling me I'm ugly. They used to call me, nyamana, hey, play key. You know, I always. So growing up around varsity, there was like a light bulb moment where I was like, why am I black? Sort of like it was like that defining moment was like, but why am I black? Why am I dark skinned? Tenim na? Why must me? I carry this burden of being an ugly dark skinned girl, you know? And then I started doing research. Obviously, my mom always tell me dimhle. Everybody in my family, like, yo, mhle,
mnana. But you never kid, because like, that's my family. I mean, that's of course, family. They have to. They can't tell me I'm ugly.
You know, you have to love me. So I did some research, man. I went down a path of discovery, you know? I don't know what sent me there, but I went there. I started learning about amaXhosa. I started learning about black people, where what it means, what the melanin means, what is melanin, you know, why am I dark and why are they light and why are they prettier than me because they're light, and understanding where I come from, my people. I discovered that I started growing a sense of love and I remember the first time I looked espilini and I had no weave, because I used to do weaves like around high school, and I wasn't wearing a weave and my hair was natural and I had no makeup to cover up, and I was like, hey, you know, and that came from a sense of understanding of who I am.
Yeah.
So the black came in when I started, then I took my mdavuga one morning, tatti color mine, and I started, you know, doing the dots. And that was way before Amanda Black came. And I was like, this is me.
Yeah.
I love being umXhosa, you know, and I understood it. I understood what it meant.
What it means to
and
me.
Why black
being
people
black
are beautiful.
Being black is not a weakness. It's a strength. And the incredibly world had told you it's a weakness. Man, yeah.
We're incredibly powerful people, Jonga.
Yeah.
Like,
we're literally gods on earth.
I mean, Jabandu, yeah.
I know that's controversial.
It is controversial,
like,
and it's too deep for a lot of people
like,
to grasp. Because
if
it just
you can't
like,
grasp it, don't grasp it. But
it just
black
like,
people
like,
are gods on earth.
Utiko
gives us the downloads. Like,
that's a story.
Like, if I had to make it in a, I'd be like, Utiko, Steve Jobs. We are the Apple products. Like, we are a piece of Steve Jobs. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I understand. Like, we've been built to last. We are expensive. Yeah. Do you like? That sounds extreme. Like, that sounds like quite a painful transition.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
and
to
I'm
a
still on it.
And you're still on it. And also on top of that, you being teased for being black.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're a woman.
That's another struggle.
Another struggle. And well, like right now, I mean, I also believe that healing is also a journey. You know? And since entering the industry, do you think there's been moments that have prevented that healing process for you? Because I think as you grow older, you get more confident within yourself. I mean, by the time you're 30, you're gonna be like Erykah Badu level of like, fuck everybody, I'm hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Erykah. I follow Erykah, but Erykah Badu will Instagram herself bold, like, I'm black, I'm beautiful, fuck off if you don't like me, type of thing. And I feel like you're gonna go there. So, like, right now, like going through now, entering the industry, and I mean, the industry literally finds your insecurities, I feel. Like, if you're battling with image issues, the industry will make you confront, because people will come like, yeah, you're ugly, you're black,
being
you're
the
this.
Be
in the public eye. So, do you think there were times in the music industry where you felt like you were going back to that space, or a piece of that space was sort of touched, or a button was clicked, and you're like, oh my God, like, I can feel that pain, like, in there?
Every now and then, obviously, anybody who comes and says, look, this is me, every now and then there's things that happen that question that.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to look within yourself. That's why you have to be strong. I still tell young girls that understand who you are. If you don't know it, look for it inside yourself. Because if you look for it in the world, you will never find it. What you'll find is what the world wants you to be.
Yeah.
So every now and then, I'm not going to lie, it is questioned. Yeah. It is challenged. It is... Dude, I know I'm different. I know that mna ndingumXhosa and that's all I want to be. I'm black and that's all I want to.
Yeah.
And that's what I want the people to see when they look at me.
Yeah.
But every now and then, you look at TV. Still, things are starting to transform, but they're still very backwards.
Yeah.
In terms of standards of beauty. And we're still fighting that. As dark-skinned black girls, we're still fighting that. As black women, we're still fighting want us to be.
I even think, like, for me, the most painful part, and I think it's one of the reasons why I'm so vocal within my space of fashion, is that we say that beauty is all-inclusive. And we say, we want curvy women, we want plus size. But it feels as though... Even in the space of plus size, we still segregate. But this is the kind of plus size we want. This is the kind of black we want. And even in fashion, it's like, okay, black is a new thing in fashion. We want like Nigerian black thin models. That's black. And then
they choose what they want. It's like, okay, you want plus size. Okay, we want this kind of plus size. Or you want dark skin girls. This is the kind of dark skin girl that we want. We don't want you. You don't fit.
Yeah.
You understand?
It's still driving the image of perfection. Yes. It's like, let's find a perfect plus size person. Like, their hips must be like that. Like, I see it even in fashion all the time where sometimes I look at these plus size models on Instagram and I'm like, that's not plus. This is like, you know what I'm saying? This is not
too thick.
Yeah, this is not even plus. This woman is ripped. She has a six pack, but they're saying she's plus size. But what about a flat belly? Like a non-flat belly?
Mm.
You know, what about, you know, legs that are not balanced the usual way? What about people who have, you know, no breasts because they have to take them out because of cancer? So it still feels like even with beauty standards, we're still segregating. When we want plus size, we try to find the perfect model,
perfect shape,
the perfect criteria for plus size. If we want, you know, African women, we still want to look for the perfect African woman. African women have colors that go from gray to yellow, like the spectrum of skin, you know, the hair, everything. So I still feel that, like, we're still very much guilty of, we'll say we are inclusive, but then we're still inclusive of what we want, not necessarily
what
the reality of what there is, what there is.
Definitely.
So now, being in the industry and being a black woman, what is that like? In all honesty, what is being a black woman in the industry and being so young in the industry? What is that like?
It's tricky. I think I've used that word a lot in this interview because that's how the industry is. It's tricky and you need to, you constantly, I saw that you never find your balance. So for me, I'm coming in the industry and already knowing who I am, like I said, it gets challenged a lot of the time. And also trying to, there's points where you have to fit in, you have to try and fit in, and then there's points where you can't fit in because you need to change to fit in. You need to give up a lot of yourself to fit in.
Kutwa, this is the industry. That's what they say
to
women.
I don't care.
And I've seen this manipulation before. Yes. Especially, like, it happens a lot with record labels.
Especially when it comes to fashion, because for women, I think that's where they attack us. Just yesterday, Lady Zamar was trending.
Because of what she wore.
So that's what she wants to wear.
Yeah.
And she was beautiful. But because Kutiwa, no, you need to be like this. And it's so tiring that people telling us how women and how black women should act and how black women should wear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, I'm going to wear whatever I want.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, especially for South African black artists, women. We are not put in the same standards as American artists. Yeah. Whereas,
I mean, about Gigi LaMaine being attacked for their style. You know, Kutwa, she dresses like she picks up boys, like she picks up picks up girls for a living.
But
like,
now about Obanbani, Apa, Peshea, Banglibi, Pendi, and then you don't say anything, you look up to them.
Dude, there are 40-year-old men in the industry who dress like they're 25. No one talks about that.
But no one says anything about that.
No one talks about that, like there's some dudes who are 45 years old who dress like they play PlayStation for a living.
And no one...
It looks like this. I'm not going to mention any names, but I mean, come on, dog.
Names.
My E, please, bro. Like,
no,
you old enough to be my dad. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some artists that I grew up watching, and then now I'm like, dog, like, you're in the club next to me dressing like how I'm dressed, but you're like 45. What's happening? No one talks about that. Do you get what I'm saying? But we go to women a young woman who's 25.
Literally look at it, and then they pick certain things one by one. We're human beings, yeah. Yo. Like, akumnandanga. As much as you can say, no, it doesn't affect me. Akumnandanga to have people scrutinize you, especially your body. Like you said, everybody has insecurities.
Yeah.
But akomd yena if ungaya ku profile yakhe umuntu aqhuba ukanye pictures and then naye pick. They're not going to be happy about that. But all I'm saying is we are not judged by the same stick as international artists, one. And we are not judged by this, especially with the women, with the men that we are up against, apparently. You know what I'm saying? So it's this whole thing of pitting us against each other.
Yeah. And so, also, I think the most unfair thing about, like, especially with women and what I've seen, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a woman, so I can't exactly own those struggles. They're not mine.
Yeah.
But I always feel like women are always challenged, especially within music industry, to compete on the same level as men. But then it's like, how can they compete on the same level if they're not treated the same? So men in record labels get away with a lot. Men tend to be more trusted. Like, yeah, that's your image. It's cool. Okay, you smoke weed. That's fine.
Yeah, fine.
We'll accept that. If you do that, that's cool. We can work around that. Like, if you want girls backstage. Now, imagine as a hip-hop artist, you're female and you want niggas backstage.
Yeah, you want men around you.
Yeah, because you know how men are in the industry. They want, they'll be like, we need these women around us. Imagine that Gigi LaMaine walks into a set. She's like, I want 20 guys around me, and they must look hot. They're gonna call her a hoe. She's a hoe. But for guys, it looks cool. Record labels will say, no, like, girl, change your image, like, show a bit of cleavage, maybe, like, you dress like you're too old, like, you're
change
aging
your
yourself. But, like, no one talks about how 40-year-old men look like 20-year-olds, which is creepy.
This one is fine, I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no one talks about that, like, on yo.
No one talks about
like,
that.
Like, yo, my dude, like, yo, Slicker, whatever, or whoever hip-hop's, I'm not saying this is true, but no one will say to a hip-hop artist, like, yo, aka, listen, bro, you're dressing a bit too old, like, bring it down, or you're dressing a bit too young, bring it.
No
one will say that.
No.
So, that also, I feel that, so.
Yes, it's so unfair. It's just like how men can just wear sneakers, jeans, and a top, and then buy it to an event, and it's okay. And then Tina, no.
We'll figure out a lot topping
fucking makeup, our hair, and. Can we just be
like, oh, empty pitch up with alcohol at events, and everyone's like, oh, that's so cool, trap life.
Now let me bring.
Imagine you, Peter, find the pepper. She's on drugs.
It won't even be alcohol, but yeah, let's just, dude.
Yeah.
Now, double standards that I think a lot of women give up on the fight because a lot of women are not together.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, yeah, no, it needs to change. I can't do it alone.
Yeah.
So what happens is I fight. I try to rally up women because obviously I can't fight the fight alone. But a lot of women give up on it because they end up fighting alone.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to compete against each other. So that's what happens. They pit us against each other and you end up having 4 or 10, 20 hundreds of isolated women who complain about the same thing but are never on the same page.
And so for this is a very key question. I mean, I consider you not only someone who's relevant right now, but I look at you as a future of the music industry.
Thank you.
You know, I look at people like Obotani Sanozwai, and I think within the next couple of years, you're going to be one of those people when our kids are growing up or whatever. So for you, when you look at your career over the next 20 years, what does the emancipation of women look like in music? You know, because you've been saying for such a long, these things have been happening, even since Abo Lebo Matoso
were
around, they had to deal with this. You know, Abo Brenda Fassie were raped by music execs. Like, a lot of crazy shit that has happened up until this point. Where women are consistently scrutinized about how they live their lives, especially in the entertainment and music industry.
Yeah.
When you look at the next 10 years, what do you think, as men, we can play a part in changing the system, number one? Number two, how do you work on healing the scars of women being pitted against each other? You know, how do you think this issue, not necessarily be solved in one day, it's not going to happen over one day or one year, it's going to take a long period of time. You know, what do you think needs to happen? Do you think record labels need women as CEOs, as execs maybe,
yes,
for change to happen? How do you see that process playing out?
Okay, I'm seeing, okay, first, the first question was, how do men
play a role?
Men need to respect women. And obviously, I have
define
no direct.
What respect is.
That's the thing.
Because
I have
as
no
men, we think if I say you're beautiful, that's what I think. As a man, if I'm complimenting you, I'm respecting you. And that's not respect, really. It's commenting on your looks.
Yeah, it's just it.
So when you talk about men respecting women, give us a, because we're educating people, give me a practical idea, even an example of what that looks like.
I feel as if men need to respect themselves, because the one thing, the trend, it's actually a crazy trend, that if we have to talk about what's happening between the women and the men of South Africa right now, we cannot go about this discussion and not talk about how abuse is happening and killing of women is happening. And dude, I can't even say, okay, this is the reason why it's happening.
Yeah.
Which is why I cannot say this is the solution.
Yeah.
Because we do not know why. We have a little bit of ideas, but we cannot pinpoint exactly why all of this is happening. We cannot pinpoint why women, for years and years and years and years of, I want to use a big word, patriarchy,
yeah,
that has befallen our societies. How do we go about, now I'm asking a question, how do we go about reversing that? How do we go about healing that?
Yeah.
I find it, I cannot, I'm not learned in that specific discussion. What I know is experiences that I've been through and what I see, and I'm like, what can be done to change this?
Yeah.
What can be done to change this?
I also think the biggest problem I think is that we don't, as men, we don't hold each other accountable.
Never.
So if Dex here slaps you, as a guy, I'm like, yo, Dex, that's not cool, bro. Don't do that again. And then Dex will be like, nah, I won't do it again. But no one knows if when you go home, he's not going to do it again. So it's a thing of, even amongst men, it's a tricky situation for me to tell another dude, yo, it's easy to say, dude, yo, this is bad. But does that hold him accountable not to do it again? And
no.
Most of the time is that when a nigga does that, we should call the cops. Because then if someone calls the cops, I mean, everyone's afraid to go to jail. So, of course, that's going to...
Automatically.
But no one does that. And you find that also as men, we are also someone's brother, someone's sister. So if I had to slap someone, my sister sees it. I know my sister wouldn't call the cops. She would just tell me, freak out on me or slap me herself. Mm. But then it still doesn't change the fact that I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, it doesn't confront the act.
It doesn't confront the act. And also as men, there's this like tough energy of, dude, I'm my own man. This is my life. Where do you enter between me and my girlfriend? Like, must I punch you now? Like, must I shoot you now? So I think that's where the problem is. I think the problem is around the systems of how men operate. And that hasn't been challenged yet. Because all of us tweet, like, fuck abuse, screw abuse. We speak out about abuse. But when it happens in a personal setting. So if your brother beats up someone, as Amanda Black, are you getting your brother arrested? That's where it gets tough. Because everyone who's abusive comes from a family of some sort.
Men are the only people that know why they do these things.
Yeah.
We as women cannot force, all we can do is rally each other. That's the thing. We can't hold you accountable. The only way we can make you hold get accountable is by enforcing it and forcing it. But at the end of the day, men, you yourself, are the only people that know why these things are happening.
Yeah.
Why men are abusing women. Men, the man who's abusing is the only person that will know why they're doing those things.
Yeah.
And men don't talk about these things.
We don't.
We cannot engage you in a conversation where you guys don't engage yourself in conversations such as that. Fine. And I've hung around with men. I grew up as a tomboy, I listen to the conversation, that boys have, that men have. And it's never about the serious things. It's never about, machita, Elena, it's happening. What do I do? Or let's discuss how we change.
As men, we won't sit around.
Discussions don't happen.
As men, like, we won't sit in a temple like, oh, my nigga, why are you depressed?
Like, how are you doing
emotionally? I think that's where the problem is that, like, for centuries, women have been programmed to fit a certain role. So women are expected to be motherly. Women are groomed to be emotional. And men are groomed, no, you must be hardcore. Like, women are bitches, like, she must never win type of thing. So that's why I listen to female conversations. I'm always surprised because, like, a girl, a woman will have a team, like, friend, how are you doing? And she'll be like, I'm fine. She'll be like, but how are you doing, friend?
What's
like,
happening?
How are you feeling? Yeah. Like, I saw you posted this on Instagram. It seemed like, I can't imagine, like, Dex telling me, like, yo, bro, I saw that post on Instagram. It was a bit too emotional. Emotionally, what's happening? Dex is looking at my post thinking, yo, those clothes look dope.
Yeah,
he's not worried about the caption. Where women, like, pay attention. And I think we need to start grooming men differently.
Yes.
And I think that starts at home. Like, we're not going to stop what has happened. I don't think there's a way of looking at men and be like, this is, I think for us, it starts with us.
Yeah.
So what am I teaching in my household with my brothers? What am I teaching to my dad who operates in that system? You know what I'm saying? To say, no, dad, actually, that's not acceptable. Yeah. I don't accept that. That's not my life.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I then put that into my kids. I think that's where the start is. And most importantly, being partners with women. I think we always see women, we always say women are our partners, but it's always like we see women as our companions, as men. We don't see them as partners. It's always like, she's my better side. She's my left hand. She behind.
So behind every great man there's a woman.
Why must she behind? Why can't she be next to you? So even that, like changing that ideology that women can hold the same shares in a household. Well, emotionally, work-wise, and everything-wise, there's no role. There's the same way you have a role of providing for your family through work. She's also going to provide through work.
Yes.
The same way you want her to cook, now you must cook.
Yes.
So I think it starts there for me personally.
Definitely, we can't go back.
That's the
thing. We need to accept it. We can't go back and fix things back then.
Yeah.
What we need to do now is look at the problems and find solutions for them.
Yeah,
that's it. Because it is easy to say, "Yo, men are trash." But it doesn't change anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't change anything. It further isolates, especially because as black people.
I think that's
it further divides us.
I think that's what pains women, because like you can treat men are trash, but at the same time, one day you want to have a husband.
Well,
yes. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and nothing has changed. Yeah, you just made a different
men. Men still have to co-build with women.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask one last question. I think we're running out of time. I hate this. And I like doing this. Like, I'm not, you know how, I'm not going to ask you what project you're working on. No, I'm not. You have a minute, not even a minute, however long you feel.
Okay.
What do you want to tell the world right now before we close the show? And before you say, and after you say that, please then tell us where people can find you, engage with you. Where can
after
they
find
you? Yeah, after you've said.
Okay.
So right now, in 3, 2, 1, what do you want to tell the world right now?
I want to tell the world. Okay, firstly, I was saying to my mom yesterday that I feel like the way things are happening, the way everything is just wrong and going bad. Yeah, there's good things, but there's like bigger things, like we're dying.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things, you know, women are being raped. Especially, I will forever be speaking on the side of a woman because I am a woman.
Yeah.
So what I have to say to the world is, we need transformation. We cannot live the way our parents were living. So we need transformation. I'm going to reiterate the things that I've said. We need to start forgiving ourselves. As women, we need to find new ways of approaching situations. And we cannot just allow things to happen to us anymore.
Yeah.
You understand? So we need to be proactive. We need to do things. And most importantly, I know it sounds like a broken record because a lot of people have said it. Women need to stand together. And I will say this until I die and find solutions, find ways of how to do it.
Cool.
And yeah. And don't ever give up on your dreams.
And I'll say this. Amanda is Amanda Black on social media. Amanda
for
Black
me.
SA. please find her, guys. And thank you so much for having me. I think you're such an amazing soul. And I'm so excited to work with you, and I'm also so excited to see where you go. Whenever you need my support, especially around like getting like niggas in line, I'm always ready. I'm Shaka Zulu. I'm always ready. Amanda, thank you so much, and
thank you
everyone for listening.
Me.
This is the Thread Exchange. Live with Siyabile.
This is CliffCentral.com.